First Chronicles 15, we'll begin in verse 12, and you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God. I'm not going to read this whole thing again, but I'm probably going to skip a lot of the names as we go through here. But beginning in verse 12, and you just follow along as we go down here, in First Chronicles, in chapter 15, and we're going to begin in verse 12 as we read tonight. The Bible says, and said unto him, this is David speaking, of course, ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, both ye and your brethren, that ye may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel unto the place that I have prepared for it. For because ye did not it at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the due order. So the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel. And the children of the Levites bare the ark of God upon their shoulders with the staves thereon, as Moses commanded according to the word of the Lord. And David spake to the chief of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be the singers, with instruments of music, psalteries, and harps, and cymbals, sounding by lifting up the voice with joy. So the Levites appointed Heman, the son of Joel, and of his brethren, Asaph, the son of Berechiah, and the sons of Merari, and their brethren, Ethan, the son of Cushiah. Now, I'm not going to go in or over and review everything again from last week, but I hope you understand these first several times that we talk about this, we're building a philosophy, okay? We're building how we're supposed to think toward music, all right? So we'll get in, I promise you, we'll get into the nuts and bolts of it. We'll talk about notes, and we'll talk about how those notes are to be ordered, and how the things are, we're going to get there, all right? But we're going to build a foundation of the right way of thinking biblically toward music first. Okay, is everybody okay with that? You understand what we're doing here, okay? So, yeah, last time we talked about music in the Bible. 16 times the word music is mentioned. Singing and sing 148 times. Song or songs 98 times. And then various other references to singing or music in the Bible. So we talked about how God has a foundation. God's a musical being. We are musical beings. We're created in the image of God. We know that angels sing. We know that the Bible even says the creation sings. So singing is a part of things in God's creation. So that's established. We also talked about the morality of music, whether or not it was amoral is what a lot of people say. Well, and by the way, most people when they say music, they're just talking about the tune or the notes or those types of things. They're not talking about it as a whole. Because, to be fair, if you will, the majority of the people today will say, well, it's got good words, so it doesn't matter what it sounds like. Well, that's totally false. Okay? It does matter what it sounds like. And by the way, you can have music that sounds right and the words are bad. You can have that too. Okay, so you got to look at it as a whole thing, not just one particular part or another. And so we talked about the technical definitions of music, that it's melody or harmony, succession of sounds, modulated to please the ear. And let me focus on this because I kind of ended with this last time. It's not to please our ears. It's to please his ears. That's the first thing we got to get right. Is this music is not about you and me. Music is not about what I like to hear or what you like to hear. Music is what does God want to hear. Because it's supposed to please his ears. And so these things are what music is. It can include words, does not have to include words, but music is that type of a thing. It's a simultaneous sounding in accordance to, or harmony. It can be vocal or instrumental. It can be a single voice. It can be more voices in concert. It can be a single instrument or many instruments in concert. It can consist of melody only, or it can consist of melody and harmony. All of that can be the case. Scientifically speaking, it's the sound, or it's the science of harmonical sounds, which treats to the principles of harmony, or of properties, dependencies, and relations of the sounds of each other. Okay, so these types of things. This is what music is. By the way, music is based on vibrations. Y'all understand that about music? Andrew, you're going through music theory classes and studying music there. And so, you know, it has different, those different pitches that we hear, those are different vibrations. Okay, so there's the lower ones and the higher ones, etc. And all of that is, it's all about music. Because music is a part of who we are as creation, a part of our God who created us, music has to be looked at through His eyes. It has to be. We have to decide that first and foremost. Okay? Now, as we move along, we talked about, as we ended last week, that David said in Psalm 57, "My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up my glory, awake psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations." And so we because music is part of us and we distribute it through our being to God, that's why it's important, okay? That's why it's important for us to police, if you will, or to have guidelines that are God's guidelines concerning music, all right? So all of these things we talked about last week. So I just wanted to kind of give us a launching pad for today. The battlefield of music is the mind, okay? The battlefield of music is the mind. Because what do we always say? I think, right, that this music is okay. Or, I think this is good music. I think this is bad music, right? So the battlefield is here. And it has to do not just what we think, but what we have learned, right? What we know or what we don't know about music. Where's Aiden? Hi, Aiden. I missed you. I got to be Aiden's soul winning partner yesterday. I always like that when that turns out that way. We have good conversation. We knocked on the door and talked to a Muslim man. So we were talking to him and he made some comments, which I refuted, but, I tried to do it gently. And, what did we learn this morning? Be gentle, right? In meekness, et cetera. But he said something like, "Oh, we believe in Jesus. We follow Jesus. You know, we believe the things he said. We believe, you know," he kept saying that kind of stuff. "You know, we esteem Jesus. You know, he's a prophet." I said, but you don't believe everything he said. He goes, "No, we don't believe the part that he says he's God." I'm like, "Well, then you can't say you believe him, because you don't. You're contradicting yourself, you know." But you understand that you have to believe or not believe. It's a matter of the mind. What do you believe? What do you know? And by the way, he's not going to look to the Bible because he doesn't believe the Bible's true. He says they accept the Bible, but they don't. And he kept talking about the Quran and how the Quran says that about this about Jesus, so they believe that about Jesus, but they don't believe what Jesus said about himself. So I told Aiden, we were talking to him, and then we talked to a Buddhist man, a couple doors down from there, and that man, I was trying to give him some foundation because he had no foundation of Christianity. And I told Aiden as we were leaving the door, I said, look, this is a man that we need to work with as long as he's willing to listen, because he really believes
what he believes. He really believes in Buddhism. He really believes in those, because that's all anybody's ever taught him. Folks, listen, as I grew up, this thing of music wasn't emphasized in my home or where I went to church. It wasn't a point of emphasis. So guess what? I learned to like a whole lot of bad music. I did. And by the way, if you ask me today, I will still tell you that I like rock music. Don't gasp. It's okay. So do some of you. But I don't listen to it. I can't listen to it because now I know it's wrong. So I say no to it. By the way, jazz music is very complex. Ask any musician. You've got to be a very skilled and skillful musician to play jazz music. You do. I know a jazz player, trombone player. His name's Mike Hall. He's the vice president of Providence Baptist College. He has a degree. He played at the University of Iowa. He's a Hawkeye. Somebody say boo. You should say boo. Yeah, boo. Rivals, division rivals there. He had full scholarship, University of Iowa. Very good at it. But you know what? He can't play that music anymore. Why? Because he found out it's wrong. Folks, we've got to learn. So it's a battle of the mind. We can't just go by our feelings and our thoughts, or we have to submit to the Word of God. And if you will, be willing to submit to the will of God. Are you willing to change your thoughts about music? Because there's a lot of people that are not willing. They say, don't touch my music. That's what I like. I know what I like. And by the way, that's the problem, isn't it? And so we've got to understand that we need to be willing to ask ourselves, what does God think about my music? What does God think about it? Because that's what really matters. Now, as we go on to talk about this, we have all kinds of examples. Let me read to you some more examples about music. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verses 9 through 16, it says, but as is it written, I hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. So are you getting the basis here? So, if we're believers, we're born again, we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, guess who should guide us in the area of our music? The Holy Spirit. Because guess what? He knows what kind of music God wants to hear. Okay? So he knows that. Why? Because he is him. You ever hear of quenching the Spirit? You know what quenches the Spirit? Music. It does. It can. And we need to be careful of that. So the Spirit is the one that knows the deep things of God. He says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Now listen to this next statement that Paul makes. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now this is amazing, folks. What's freely given to us of God? His Word. And what did he give us upon salvation? He gave us the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, which shall guide us into all truth. If you want to find out about music, stop looking to the world, the spirit of this world, and start looking to the Spirit of God and His Word. So again, we're just trying to set a mindset. And listen, if I promise you, if Christians would just be willing to change how they think about music, if they'd just be willing to, they would learn about music. And they would understand about music. And their music would change to be pleasing to God. What happens is people are unwilling to change. They're unwilling to see it God's way.
Now, as we read on here, he says these things. We have received, not the spirit of this world, these things are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. By the way, that's a good way to do it, right? Because if we compare things with carnal things, that's not going to work. All right? So he says spiritual things with spiritual. He says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And so our thoughts must be captivated by obedience to Jesus Christ. So you understand, we've got to have that kind of mindset. Now, as we look to praising God, singing praises unto our God, the music that we have, if you look at 2 Chronicles 5 and the dedication of the temple, what happened? All kinds of music played, and what happened? The glory of the Lord came down. Was it because of the music? No, that's only part of it. It's because of what they were doing there. The purpose of it was to glorify God, right? Solomon built God a house according to God's design. By the way, did he do it according to his design? No, he did it according to God's design. Just like David, why did God show up in 1 Chronicles 15? Because David did things according to God's design this time. He didn't do it according to God's design last time and somebody died. He did it according to God's design this time and God was pleased and showed his pleasure in his people. And so I love how this says in 2 Chronicles 5, it says also the Levites, which were the singers, all of them of Asaph, of Heman, of Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them an 120 priests, sounding with trumpets. Oh, Lord. 120 priests with trumpets. I don't know how they could have heard anything. You know, just sound. Is that about, that's a good tone, right? Yeah, amen. I like to tease trumpet players. It's so much fun. Blowhards. They really do. I spent many times practicing buzzing. Am I doing okay? You got to get the embouchure just right to get that thing going. All right. Anyways, flashback to college. Okay. So we have all this. It says it came even to pass as the trumpeters and singers were as one. Isn't that amazing? To make one sound to be heard, listen to this, in praising and thanking the Lord. So who's the focus here? The Lord. The priests and the Levites, they were not worried about if Solomon liked what they heard. They weren't worried about it if the people, the congregation, liked the song that they were playing. And see, they didn't care about that. It says that they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and the cymbals and the instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. That then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Okay? So very important is the motive. Why do you have the music you have? Why do you have that in your life? And the answer should be to praise and glorify God. Not because it makes me feel like this or like that. Now, Greek philosophers had a lot to say about music. Plato, right? Good guy, bad guy?
Right? Secular guy. Okay?
He said, music is the movement of sound to reach the soul for the education of its virtue.
Now, Plato was a philosopher, right? Greek philosopher. He knew that music reaches to the soul. Folks, you have to understand, if he knew that, you know the devil knows that. And you know God knows that. Okay? Another quote was, for the introduction of a new kind of music,
for the introduction of a new kind of music must be shunned as imperiling the whole state, since styles of music are never disturbed without affecting the most important political institutions.
That's Plato again. So back when, a long time ago when he was around, he said music affects the political state of things. The state of the society.
Aristotle, another guy, he said music has a power of forming the character and therefore should be introduced into the education of the young.
Folks, do we do that today?
Absolutely. I asked somebody one time why we don't sing Sunday school songs anymore. And I got a really kind of a cheeky answer about it. And the person just simply said, oh, because we're sick of hearing them. I don't know about you, but I love Jesus Loves Me. I think it's a foundational song. I love Jesus Loves the Little Children. I think it's so foundational. Folks, these things are so... I love that Brother Camp knew that was a Patch the Pirate song. That's a kids program. Of course, I like it too, Brother Camp. I got a couple of new ones if you want to listen to them. Amen. You don't have to have Phoenix and Orion around. You can just do it all by yourself, okay? You and Mrs. Camp, date night with Patch the Pirate, you know? It sounds great. But, you know, folks, it's foundational. So why would we be careless when it comes to choosing our music? We should keep it in mind. It's a powerful medium, folks. It's a very powerful medium. That's why it shouldn't be trifled with. It shouldn't be dealt with lightly. Now, let's see, Plato, a few more here from Mr. Plato. He said, music is a moral law. It gives soul to the universe, wings to the mind, flight to the imagination, and charm and gaiety to life and to everything. He also said, let me make the songs of a nation, and I care not who makes its laws. Folks, listen to me. Is that happening today? Can you see it? Do you want to know why our society has completely lost its mind concerning social matters? Because the music has completely lost its mind concerning social matters. It's unchained, folks. I mean, we have people who have served our communities in police, fire, military, etc. Folks, I'm telling you, people don't respect those entities anymore. Not like they used to. Can I tell you why?
Music.
It's rampant. And Plato knew this a long time ago. So, there is right music, there is wrong music. So as we move along, we're going to be looking for what God wants in His music. So, tonight, as we kind of wrap things up here, don't get too excited. I know I still have about 12 minutes left to 7:30. Okay? That's only the first page of my notes. I have two more pages of notes left, okay? Now, let's talk about who we are.
concerning music? Are we going to be seeking after God and His ways? Are we going to look for what God wants? Are we going to be a drifter? We're going to be kind of free-floating concerning our type of music. Or are we going to be a fool? One who does not care at all what God says about music. Okay, so there's three kinds. There's kinds that are seeking, wanting to know what God wants concerning music. There's going to be those that are apathetic. They're drifters. They really just, they don't have an opinion one way or the other. They think all of it's okay. And then there's some that say, I don't care what the Bible says. I want this music. Okay, those are basically the three types of people you're going to deal with concerning music. Go to Proverbs chapter 8, if you would, please. Proverbs chapter 8. It's kind of in the middle there of your Bibles, if you need help with that. Proverbs chapter 8, look at verse 17. Okay? Solomon says this, and by the way, this particular passage, this is wisdom speaking. Okay? So this is Solomon is penning these words. This is not something Solomon is saying. He's saying that wisdom is saying these things. All right? Back to verse 15, he says, By me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. Wisdom says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Folks, if you're going to seek after God, He will be shown to you. Over in Matthew, what does it say? Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be. Yeah. Folks, God wants us to seek His ways and His word. He wants us to be seekers of the things of God. You don't have to turn there, but over in Isaiah 55 and verse 6, the Bible says, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. So God tells us we're supposed to be continually seeking after what God wants. So in the area of music, if we will learn to say, by the way, this is so important. If you were to flip through the radio station, some of you are radio station flippers, you're scanning and trying to find what to listen to, okay? If anybody like that? Nobody's like that? Okay, how many used to be like that? Okay, when radio was basically king, right? How many of you are TV flippers? You flip through the channels to find what you want to watch, okay? For me, I do that. And it frustrates my family because I'll go and I'll find three channels I want to watch. Okay? Because I hate commercials. All right? So when one goes to a commercial, I'll flip to the other one. And then I'll watch that for a while. And I'm watching this. So I'll flip back and... How many of you do that? And my kids are like, we're missing the show! You know? Just stay on one channel. Anybody like that? Okay. All right. Anyways. Rabbit trail. Okay. But here's the thing. We flip around and we hear a sound. La, 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 la. Oh, no, I don't like that. Flip, 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 flip. La, 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 la. Oh, don't like that. Oh, there. That's the one. I like that one. Right? We're seeking for what we want to hear. Folks, we always are looking what pleases us. Whether it's the eye gate, whether it's the ear gate. Huh? How about the nose gate? The smelling sense? Hey, things we like to touch and things we like to taste. Folks, we're always looking for what pleases us. We need to be seekers of the things that please God. And that includes music. The seeker is willing to do the work to follow after God. He's willing to go above and beyond the minimum efforts in order to please God. He actually, or she, wants to find out what God says about music. And this is where the part that I want us to get to. Most Christians in most churches are drifters. They'll just do whatever the church is doing or listen to whatever very few are really concerned with what does God want to hear. Because look, if you're a seeker, you care about what God wants to hear, you'll go to the Bible and try to find the principles of order that God has for music. By the way, they're here, and we're going to go over them, I promise. We're going to get to that. But be a seeker. A drifter makes no effort to learn the ways of God. They just are, if you will, simple. Remember Proverbs? Solomon says, I looked out my casement, and I discerned among the simple ones. Okay? Folks, most people are just content to be here. You know? To just, oh, yeah, that's the kind of music. And they say things like this. Well, that's the kind of music we sing at church. Well, that's the kind of music my church has. Where's the ownership in that? There's no ownership in that. And then somebody says, oh, have you heard this song? And they're like, oh, no, I haven't heard that song. So you listen to it. Oh, yeah, I like that. And yet you know nothing about it. You know nothing about who wrote it. You know nothing about the order. You just know that you like how it sounds. And like I told you before, there's a lot of music that I like how it sounds, but I can't listen to it anymore because I know it's not the right kind of music. So we can't be just a drifter. We've got to care about what God says that music is supposed to be. A drifter simply, they're not necessarily choosing things to sin against God on purpose. You can call it ignorance. You can just call it not knowing or not caring to know. They're just kind of, you know, well, yeah, that, I like that music. Oh, yeah, I like that music. They're not doing it on purpose to get after God or to make God angry or upset. They're just floating around. And that's not exactly what God wants from us concerning music. And then there are those who are fools. These people, they deliberately go against God's principles because they hate God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Right? The wicked, they look at God and say, what are you going to do to me? Right? You don't care, God. You don't see what I'm doing. And so I'm just going to keep doing it. Folks, there are people like that in our world today concerning the area of music. It's not accidental. It's not just carelessness. It is something that is done wrong on purpose. Let's read a couple of these to you. In Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15, Proverbs 12:15, the Bible says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. So that's the difference between a fool and a seeker. Okay, right there. Over in Proverbs chapter 15 in verse 5, the Bible says this, a fool despiseth his father's instruction. Now, if you want to talk about someone who claims to be a Christian, right? If they're a fool, they despise, who's the father? Our Heavenly Father's instruction. By the way, if music is something that is about God and in us, don't you suppose he's given some instruction about it? By the way, how did David know how to order the people concerning music? You think he just came up with that on his own? No, God has an order to music. God has instructions for it. And again, we're going to learn those things. So you understand that the fool despises the father's instruction, but he that it regardeth reproof, we talked about that word this morning, right? This is wrong, is prudent. I don't know anybody that wants to be a fool. So why then are some people fools concerning music?
Now, we need to make sure that we have God involved in our lives, that we're not just drifting around, and certainly that we're not despising God. Okay? So, are God's wishes concerning music important to you? Some questions to ask. Are God's commands about music important to you? Are the biblical principles in Scripture concerning music important to you? Are you willing to ask the Holy Spirit of God, do you approve of my music? You say, no, I am not willing to do that. Guess what? It's because you already know the answer. Remember, guys, Brother Early asked us about that constantly up at football camp, didn't he? And that's exactly what we're talking about. So as we look at this, we need to realize that God wants us to seek Him and His thoughts and His ideas. So we need to look for the danger signs about music. Say, what are those danger signs? We're going to talk about them, but I'm just focusing today on, do you want to look for the danger signs? Do you want to ask the questions that are necessary to determine the right type of music? Or are you trying to avoid the topic altogether? You know, if I just don't think about it, then it doesn't exist. How many of you wish that were true concerning taxes? Right? If we just don't do it, it doesn't exist. Right? We're out of sight, out of mind, right? It just, no! No, that's not how it works. It still exists, doesn't it? Even if you, it's not there. Nope, not there. Nope, not there. Yeah, it's still there. It's the big elephant in the room. Right? That's right. Now, be a seeker in your thoughts, in your heart, in your actions. We are a triune being. So not just how we think, not just how we feel about it, but in how we act upon it. So you say, yes, I want to know what God wants concerning music, but if you don't then go look for it and try to learn about it, then you really don't believe it, do you? You really don't want to. But when you put feet to it, or when you put action to it, it means that you're actively looking for what God wants concerning music. Now, man is a triune being. We are a spirit, a soul, and a body. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now, this is going to go a long ways into building a philosophy, because guess what? We have a God that does things decently and in order. Okay? Now, God does things according to patterns, to designs, and to procedures, and God works those things into all of His creation. Okay? That's how it works. So God has made us. He's a musical being. We're a musical being. Man is a spirit, a soul, and a body. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and look at verse 23. Okay? 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23. He says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Right? W-H-O-L-L-Y. Right? Wholly. What does wholly mean? Complete. All of you. Not just part of you. All of you. Right? So what is all of man? Well, he says, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body. That's whole. That's the whole man. Spirit, soul, and body. He says, be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. All right? So man is a triune being. We have a triune God, right? You understand how all this works, okay? You say, what does that have to do with music? Well,
It has a lot to do with music, because guess what? Music is also three parts. Melody, harmony, and rhythm. Isn't that amazing? You say, where's the words? Well, that's, I told you, it's part of music, right? The words, if you will, would be considered kind of like the melody. Okay, it's the main part of what we're singing, right? That's the words. Now, think about this. It's three parts. Can a body get out of order? Yes, it can. Right? If you're not in order as an individual, if you let your flesh rule, you're out of order. Right? So we've got to understand that we need to be in order. Guess what? Music needs to be in order. If you get it out of order, it's not the right kind of music. And by the way, most music today, what rules the song? What rules the music? Rhythm. The majority of music today is fleshly. Because the body or the rhythm is ruling. Now, is rhythm supposed to rule the song? No, it's supposed to support the song. It's supposed to be the structure or foundation of the song. It's not supposed to rule it. So we've got to understand that these things, by the way, I just jumped ahead about a page and a half to get you that idea, okay? Because I wanted to keep you along here with me today. Now, so we need to understand that our spirit and our soul and our body are wholly blameless. That's how God wants us to be. So your music needs to be wholly blameless as well. So God wants us to think about our life. We need to think about what we're supposed to be to God. So as far as the triune being, man, our spirit is our God consciousness. Okay, that's the wisdom, the understanding. Let's go to Job 32. Job 32. We're going to flip through these scriptures. I want you to see these. Job 32, and look at verse 8. Job says this, but there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Okay, so that's talking about the spirit that's in man. All right, so we see that about man. And over in John chapter 4 and verse 24, John 4:24, the Bible says this, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Okay, so the spirit of man is important. It's an important part of it's our God consciousness. It's wisdom and understanding. That's what our spirit contains, if you will. Now our soul, right? This is who we are. Okay? Now our soul includes, if you will, our mind, our heart, and our will, the soul of man. Over in Psalm 13, David has something to say about this in verse 2. Psalm 13 and verse 2, he says, how long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Okay, so David links these things together, all right, concerning his soul. So we have our God consciousness, our wisdom and our understanding. We have our self-consciousness, our mind, our heart, our will. And then we have our flesh consciousness, or our worldly consciousness, that's our body. This is how we act out those things that we think and feel, if you will, in our lives. Right? This body is the physical vessel that we act out what is in our heart, mind, body, soul, spirit. All those things come out in our body. Okay? So we need to make sure that we have a rejuvenated spirit. Right? How will we do with our natural spirit? Bad, right? And how will we do with our natural soul, if you will? Bad. So those things need to be rejuvenated or born again, if you will. So you're either dead or alive. You're either conscious of God or not. And your body is going to go accordingly to those two things, to your spirit and to your soul. Okay? So we have the all things are to be decent and in order. The proper order, the way to life and peace, is the spirit to be the Holy Spirit, the soul to be the will of God, and the flesh to be mortified by the Spirit. That's how it's supposed to be. If you want to be successful as a Christian, we have to have things in control. When it's out of control, guess what happens? Destruction. Right? Death. And these things are important to keep in order. Let's go over to Romans chapter 7. We're going to check out chapter 8 as well. Now, Paul has a lot to say about this flesh and spirit thing, right? Romans, let's first start in chapter 7 and verse 7. Paul says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? He says, God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. For had I not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment, which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, for and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me, by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Okay, so we know this passage, and this passage is coming up, is the fun one to read, because, you know, it has the, you know, for that which I do allow not, for I would that I do not, but what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now that it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Okay, so, and by the way, in chapter 8, he goes on that there's no condemnation to them that walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. And we can talk about all of those things. But as I kind of close today, I want to give you some food for thought. If we have our life in order, with our spirit rejuvenated, controlled by the Holy Spirit, the understanding, the wisdom, the thinking, all of these things, that is what we need. Then we have our soul, if you will, rejuvenated, right? Our never-dying soul, rejuvenated. And we have the heart and the will and the mind. And then we have our body controlled by the soul and spirit. Not the other way around. We will have a productive life in Christ. Because we're a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, right? If you walk in the flesh, you'll die. If you walk in the spirit, you'll live. This is very simple things. But if we get our bodies and our Christian life out of order,
It will result in death. If we live by the flesh, if we live by the worldly way of thinking, if we live by the way that our natural heart leads us, it'll lead to destruction. It'll lead to disappointment. It'll lead to failure because we're out of order. The Bible says in Galatians, it says, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." So, we have to decide, are we going to care, if you will, or look to what God has concerning music? What type of being are we going to be? Are we going to be an ordered being that's seeking after God? Or are we going to be a disordered being that either doesn't care or purposely wants to defy God? I hope that's not you. And I hope that's not me. We need to decide, even today, that we're going to be the right kind of person concerning music and what God wants in music. And guess what? If we do that, He'll show us. If we do that, He'll make sure that you find out what He wants you to know about music and about these things. So, will you try to learn what the difference between right music and wrong music is? Will you look at how music affects you? Will you will you be willing to admit how music affects you? And then, are you sure that you're born again? Because guess what? All of this will be vain if you're not born again. Because you're going to be out of order. Because you won't have the rejuvenated soul and you won't have the rejuvenated spirit. You'll just be fleshly. And then the last question is, will you ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you about your music? Or are you going to continue to have it your way? You know, we do live in some have called it a microwave generation. You know, everybody wants it now. I call it the Burger King generation. They want it now and they want it their way. Okay, you know, that's Burger King's slogan, right? Have it your way. That's what the devil wants you to have. Have it your way. But we need to take the right approach. Before we can even talk about the technical things in music, are we going to let God be the one that we're looking to concerning this area of music?